If our experiences have taught us to see other people as uncaring or even dangerous, how can we change our perspective? Welcome to Mindfulness for Beginners. Hello, my friend. I hope you're happy. I hope you're peaceful. It's your old pal, Sean. And if you're enjoying the podcast, then I would invite you to become a supporter of the show on Patreon. The link is in the description, and there's lots of exclusive content there. Please do check it out. I went running last Sunday around the canals where I live. The northwest of England is a really beautiful place. If you haven't been to it, it's a bit like the Shire in Lord of the Rings, which isn't hugely surprising as the Shire was based on the Victorian English countryside. I'm very lucky to live here, and after settling down in me and my partner's new place over the last year, it's really starting to feel like home. And I've also started to work on my fitness. Through the pandemic, I developed a habit of snacking quite a lot, and my weight had been creeping upwards. If your first thought is, Sean, didn't you say that we shouldn't use consumption as a way to distract ourselves from our suffering? You're absolutely right. Sadly, I'm not Thich Nhat Hanh. I'm just some guy with a podcast, and I don't perfectly apply the practice to my life, especially when onion rings and cake bars are within easy reach. But I had been doing better recently. I'd limited my snacking to once a day and become a lot more active. So much so that I was starting to feel younger, stronger, invincible even, as I ran along the canal in the gentle rain, reaching a distance that I hadn't for years. I slowed down to see that the path on my side of the canal ended, and a twisty stone bridge took you over the canal and down onto the other side. As I say, very Lord of the Rings. The bridge was paved with cobbles, and for those not currently residing in 19th century Britain, these are irregular stone paths, but not paved with flat stones. That would be crazy. It's medium-sized round stones like you'd find anywhere, cemented into the ground in a kind of long, unending trip hazard. Not a problem for me, though. I'm young, strong, and invincible, so I ran up one side of the bridge, waved hello and smiled at the two cyclists who were taking a break on the bridge and started running down the sloped cobbleway on the other side. It was then that my feet gave way on the wet cobbles, not just skidding, but sliding out from underneath me entirely. Before I knew it, I'd landed on my back, hard, on the unforgiving stone path. I instantly went from feeling like I was 25 to being painfully aware of my actual 40-something years of existence. I felt like an old fool, and all it had taken to shatter the illusion was a poorly designed pathway and 10 minutes of drizzle. As I lay in the path, moaning like an elephant in the throes of childbirth, something kind of amazing happened. The cyclists rushed over, they picked me up, they checked I hadn't broken a bone, they noticed I'd skinned my hand. Of course, being British cyclists, they had a first aid kit. They cleaned the wound and bandaged it. They didn't just help with my bruised body, they helped with my bruised ego as well. They told stories of going over themselves on this path, and it occurred to me that I should probably write the council a letter. Now you might say, Sean, that's not that amazing. Anyone would be that kind. You would probably do that for someone, and I would. But it's amazing for me. I've mentioned on the podcast before that I experience social anxiety, and you can frame this as a fear of social situations. But I realized that day that it's not really about socializing, it's a fear of people. And some of my experiences of life have taught me that people can't be trusted, that they'll hurt you if you let them, and that they won't care if you're suffering. And consciously, I know that's not true. But deep down, way down where the memories are stored, there is a belief that formed in the past that people are dangerous. That day, the kindness of those cyclists undermined that belief, just as lots of other experiences in the last 20 years have. The point is that my natural tendency is to pull away from the world. I never feel truly relaxed until I get home and lock the door. But that lens I view the world through can change if I'm prepared to put myself out there and connect with other people more, to give them a chance. And of course, some people will be rude or unkind, or their behaviour will be inconsiderate. It's very easy to cherry pick these moments and say, ah, I knew it, I was right. But that's not what most people are like. If we open ourselves up to folk, be aware of their compassion, feel gratitude for all the little kindnesses they show every day, we can transform our view of the world, because the world is a beautiful place. The world is smiling too. So let's practice together right now with a guided meditation from Blooming of Lotus. If you want to take a moment to make yourself comfortable, we'll begin with three sounds of the bell and the usual settling in introduction. And we'll begin, as we always do, by applying our beginner's mind to your posture. And I would invite you to imagine that you have a thread attached to the crown of your head, and it's gently pulling you upwards into an upright position, your spine like a stack of coins, your heart raised upwards and outwards, your hands comfortably in your lap. Just allowing a gentle smile to emerge on your face as we take a moment to enjoy the stability of our posture. And then expanding that spotlight of awareness to your entire body. Noticing where you feel warm or cold. Noticing where you feel tense or relaxed. Becoming aware of the sensation of the clothes against your skin. And the points of contact between your body, the chair, and the floor. Shifting that spotlight of awareness to your thoughts and feelings. And as we go through the guided meditation, just noticing each thought as it arises, and that might be an anxious thought about tomorrow. Could be a happy thought about today, or a sad thought about yesterday. Just sitting with each thought, allowing it to leave, and gently, and without judgment, bringing your attention back to your breath. And finally, focusing your awareness in the breath. Noticing that column of air between your nose and your diaphragm. Noticing how the air feels cooler on the way in. Warmer on the way out. Breathing in, I am aware of my eyes. Breathing out, I smile to my eyes. Aware of eyes, smiling. Breathing in, I see my eyes arise from the elements. Breathing out, I see my eyes dissolve into the elements. Eyes from the elements, dissolve into the elements. Breathing in, I see my eyes contain the sunshine. Breathing out, I see my eyes contain the clouds. Eyes contain sunshine. Eyes contain cloud. Breathing in, I see my eyes contain the earth. Breathing out, I see my eyes contain the air. Eyes contain earth, eyes contain air. Breathing in, I see my eyes contain the whole cosmos. Breathing out, I see my eyes present in everything in the cosmos. Eyes contain cosmos. Eyes contain cosmos. in everything in cosmos. Breathing in, I see the all in the one. Breathing out, I see the one in the all. All in one, one in all. Breathing in, I see the birthless nature of my eyes. Breathing out, I see the deathless nature of my eyes. Birthless nature of eyes, deathless nature of eyes. And as we reach the end of the guided meditation, taking a moment to notice any changes in your body, noticing any areas of relaxation, any areas that have become uncomfortable, and just take an opportunity to stretch those, maybe your back or your legs. Noticing any changes in your mind, and if you feel a sense of calm or peace, then I would invite you to carry that through the rest of your day. And finally, opening your eyes and returning your awareness to the room that you're in. May you be happy. May you be peaceful. And may you see yourself through the eyes of understanding and compassion. Slana, will ya? And I'll see you next time.
Well, I've been afraid of changing, 'cause I've been